The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Remember, as I was growing up, especially when I was about 10 to 12 or 13, I had a bad habit of kind of complaining to my dad if I was asked to do chores or clean my room or go somewhere, some family function that I didn't want to go to. I would often kind of whine and complain and say, "Do I have to?" Hoping that for some reason this time it would be a little bit different. And for some reason, my mom or dad would go, "Oh, no, you don't have to go this time." That was never the case. But my dad's often somewhat sarcastic response was almost always, "You don't have to, you get to." I never thought it was that funny, but he certainly did. But I think his point in saying that wasn't so much to help me recognize that it was a good thing of what I was supposed to do, or that, you know, cleaning up my room and doing chores was just part of being part of the family, which was much better than the small inconvenience that it was causing me. But I think it was actually to help me see that I could choose, that I could choose to do it grudgingly or choose to do it with great love. And I find that now as a priest, I often find myself giving a very similar answer when people ask about the cross of Jesus. Because when we look at the cross, we can have a similar reaction. Why did Jesus have to do that? Why did he have to endure so much pain and physical suffering? Why did he have to not just die, but die such a humiliating and horrible way? And I think from God's perspective, it's not that Jesus had to. Maybe it's not necessarily that he got to endure that as well, but instead that Jesus chose to endure the cross for us. That he knew what was coming and he freely said, "I will do this out of love for the world and to overcome sin." Not just because God wanted to see him punished or to see him endure a lot of pain and suffering to be obedient to the will of the Father, as if it's some sort of like cosmic or divine wrestling match, but instead because the cross is actually the perfect remedy for sin and death. It's actually Jesus doing the opposite of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, and actually the opposite of what we often do with our own sins. That instead of putting a limit on how far we will go for God, how much we will do for him to be obedient to him, instead Jesus says, "I will go to any length to be obedient to the Father, to do his will even if it doesn't make sense to me, even if it looks like the cross. Even then, I will still trust in my Heavenly Father and do his holy will." Our sins are the opposite of that. Our sins are times when we say, "God, I know what you tell me what I should do. Maybe I think you're probably right most of the time. For whatever reason, right now, I'm going to choose not to do that. I'm going to choose to do what I think is best." Jesus on the cross shows the perfect love he has for us, but also the perfect obedience to God the Father. So it's not just that he had to endure it, but that he chose it for our sake. We had this beautiful hymn in the second reading in the letter to the Philippians about Jesus being exalted because of the sacrifice and obedience he shows on the cross. But I actually think the first reading gives us a greatest glimpse into how Jesus reverses the effects of sin. Because in the first reading, Moses is with the people. This is before they've kind of been unfaithful to God many times, wandering in the desert. It's before they've even been punished, saying that none of them will get to enter the promised land. But they become kind of upset, and God, in almost a fit of rage, it seems like, sends these serpents to bite them in the wilderness. Some people even dying because of the serpents. And so the people repent, and I think they give a pretty legitimate maybe request or a good answer to the problem. They basically say, God, if you sent these snakes among us that are killing us, could you please just get rid of the snakes? Could you just take the problem away? But that's not what God does. God doesn't just say, oh, yes, I was upset with you. Now you've changed your ways. I will take away the bad thing. Instead, he actually enters into the bad thing. He enters into the problem and offers them a solution. Something that still allows the serpents to be there, but actually uses it so that they can trust God our Father, so that they can know that he will provide for them. That's what happens when Moses puts this serpent on a bronze pole. Probably looks similar to kind of that medical image that's often used. It's kind of a serpent wrapped around a pole. They actually started using that throughout history as a reference to this story. But oftentimes in medicine, they're not able to know exactly how to fix the cure to get rid of the disease, but they can treat it with something else to get rid of the effects or to sometimes get rid of it altogether. That's what God does in the desert. That he puts this serpent on the pole so the people will not die, but also so that they can have a solution throughout the problem. So that they can see God the Father is with them, that they haven't been abandoned in their suffering, but he's actually there with them to show them a better way and to strengthen them to overcome what is around them. Brothers and sisters, I think that's exactly what God wants us to see on this feast day of the Exaltation of the Cross. The cross is Jesus undoing the knot that was formed because of the original sin, but also because of our own personal sins. That he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it. But especially that he wants us to know that when we suffer or when we encounter the cross, it's not a sign that we're doing something wrong. It's not a sign that we've failed or even that God is upset with us and punishing us for some particular reason. But oftentimes the cross is like us mounting the serpent on the bronze pole. It's realizing that in this suffering, our job is to look to Christ. Is look to receive that help and that strength from him rather than doing it all on our own. Realize that God wants to enter into that suffering with us so that we can carry it with grace and free will, choosing to embrace the cross like he did, choosing to say, Lord, it's not just that I have to endure this physical suffering or this challenging difficulty in my relationship. It's not just that I have to kind of take up this cross and grudgingly carry it until I'm finished with it. But instead, I can see in that cross a way to be conformed to Christ. What to say, Lord, even if I don't really understand it, even if I really dislike the cross, which side note we usually do, even if I truly dislike and hate this thing that I have to endure, I can actually do it with you, and that will lead me to greater life. It will lead me not just to wanting to get rid of the problem, but seeing that through the problem, I can grow in faith and trust in God our Father. That is why God sent his Son into the world. Not so that he could condemn the world or just show us how bad we are, but so that we could have eternal life. Yeah, eternal life in heaven, hopefully with him for all eternity, free from all sin and attachments of this world, but that we can start to experience that life now. That when we encounter suffering and the cross, we can see it not as a condemnation, not as just something to begrudgingly do, not as something that we have to do as followers of Jesus. Actually, something we can freely choose to do, something that we get to do, to unite ourselves to Christ and to overcome our own sins and temptations. So brothers and sisters, let us thank God for the gift of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank him certainly for the salvation that he offers us and the hope that it gives us in this life and in the life to come. Let us also see that in our own sufferings and challenges, we can choose to carry the cross like Jesus. It can be the path through which we overcome our sinfulness and our pride. It can become the way that we become more obedient to God our Father, not unwillingly, but freely choosing to follow him and trust in him. That in that way, his eternal life can start to come to us, strengthened by his grace, we can encounter that enduring life here on earth and enjoy it forever in His presence in heaven.